Hello, welcome. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Arellano. This is a show for mission-driven organizations, nonprofit and community-based organizations. And we're here dedicated to making sure that we take care of ourselves and our community first, because without a healthy community, we don't have healthy individuals. And so I have some wonderful guests joining us today. But first, we do want to thank our platinum sponsors. That's Pearson Law Group. Expect expert representation. That is the Pearson Promise. And we're going to get started today because we have two guests, and we're going to structure the show a little different than what we normally do. My first guest is Tina Laguna, and she is a horse rescuer and a friend of mine. I'm really excited that she's on the show with us today. And we're going to talk about equine rescue or horse rescue. And she is currently not a nonprofit. She's been one of those that has been brought by love and passion to do what she absolutely loves to do. And then all the paperwork aside, that's the next step. And so we've brought with us an expert, Joy Stevens. She is an expert on setting up nonprofit organizations. So we're going to kind of do it dual. We're going to learn a little bit about equine rescue from Tina. And then we're going to bring Joy in, and we're going to do a little workshop here and ask some questions about what you need to know or what are some things to consider when setting up a nonprofit organization. So welcome, ladies. Welcome, Joy. Welcome, Tina.
Thanks for coming. Thank you so much.
And so Tina, tell me, now you and I know each other because we live in the same area.
Correct.
And you have a ranch, it's called Rancho Laguna, and you do horseback riding lessons and boarding at this place. How did you get involved in horse rescue?
Oh, Kim, it kind of just fell into my lap. And first off and foremost, I want to say how grateful and thankful I am for you having us on today.
Oh.
This is really nice to be able to come and talk about Rancho Laguna.
Yeah, it's a beautiful place.
Thank you.
If you have ever thought, I've had friends that, actually a friend of mine who, she said to me, I just want to come and be around horses. I don't know anything about them. I just want to be around them. Yours is the perfect place to go because everybody's so calm and everybody is living amongst each other. You know, the burros, the chickens, the pigs, the cows, everything. It's just a very harmonious kind of place. So it's my pleasure to have
you
here.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I agree. It's really a lot of fun, and it's amazing who can live together and how it just rolls.
Yeah. So how did it start? So now all of a sudden somebody says, here's a horse.
Oh, gosh. Well, my very first rescue, I was 12 years old.
Oh.
And so it's been a while. And my bleeding heart just fell for these animals when somebody says, I have this horse, or this horse is in need. I never close my door or my gate. It's like, okay, sure, I'll find a spot.
Wow. And in your career has been in horses as well, too.
Yes, for the last 10, 12 years. I've been boarding horses and caring for horses and raising them, breeding them, showing them.
And what are you finding that these horses need? Are these horses that are discarded because they've got behavioral problems or people just can't afford to keep them? Or what are you seeing out there in the horse rescue world?
The last couple rescues that I've received have been mostly, I think, because of the economy, but then compounded by more of almost an animal hoarding kind of situation where there's loads and loads of horses and one individual, and they have them and they're personal property, but they're not willing to let them go when they know they need the help,
mm-hmm.
when they're starving to death. And some have even, like, particular, I have a 20 some odd year old rescue, and she came from a ranch in the southern of this county. I won't name the town because I don't want to pinpoint anybody. Anyways, and they were hoarded, and majority of them did not make it. There were 9 that starved to death and 5 that made it off the ranch.
And these weren't, I know the horses that you're talking about, mm-hmm. because I've adopted one of
yes,
them.
Yes, you
but,
have.
These aren't, you know, just your everyday horses.
No.
These were prize.
These were
breeding
very
horses.
Expensive horses.
Yeah.
And well-bred and well-behaved, wonderful animals, just needed the love, just needed the groceries.
Mm-hmm. And people just run out of money. You said the economy. I think that's part of it. I think when you talk about hoarding, I mean, we've seen the hoarding shows. It's been interesting. Some of these, when you read about them, even across the country, they start out as rescues, mm-hmm. you know,
true.
And they
yeah.
take in rescue horse mm-hmm. after rescue horse after rescue horse. And then pretty soon you've got way too many horses for the property, and it just gets kind of overwhelming for folks.
Very true.
So asking for help. So let's, you know, one of the ways that we know that people are in trouble with horses in particular is the neighbors will be driving by and the horses won't look too great. Mm-hmm. What are some things that the general public should know? Let's say they live by somebody who has lots of horses. You know, when's a time that somebody might want to get concerned?
Gosh, I mean, the obvious thing, when you can see the bones on an animal, they've been starved for quite a while at that point.
Not just the rib bones, but you mean the back bones and the hip
bones. You know, or they're just blanketed all the time, and you know that those animals are wanting to get out, and they're breaking out. And gosh, just, you know, even looking at their feet, if they're, you know, you could tell if their feet are really long, and or there's nobody around. Mm-hmm. Nobody around. You don't ever see physical food in front of that animal, and you're driving by them four times a day, coming and going from your house, and they're getting smaller and thinner, lethargic. At one point, you know, they just lay down and give up on life.
Mm. And then what should somebody do if they come across that situation? Should they call King County? I mean, is there even anybody in King County to call anymore?
You know, I did in the past work as a contractor with King County Animal Control. And I believe you can probably still contact them. I know each city is contracting through them now, but I have kind of held off taking any more rescues just at this very minute because I still have some rescues that I haven't adopted out.
Yes. And that's, you know, it's kind of hard. You know, a dog's one thing. And even though we had the feral cat lady here with the feral cats and how many cats there are running around out there and dogs running around there, horses are a little different. Not everybody can take in a horse. I mean, you have to have the property, and a lot of the big acreage that people had, they had 10 acres, that's been subdivided.
Yeah.
So people just don't have the space for horses anymore, the needs for horses anymore.
And it's all the food and all the care and the vetting and the shoeing, and everything adds up. Even though, you know, I take in these rescues, at one point they were foster children to me, basically, but now everything is out of my own pocket and contributions, and you just have to make sure that you keep asking for the funds, and somehow angels come by and contribute.
And they do. They do contribute. What does it cost typically to take care of a horse? What are some of the things that people need to think about, especially these rescues? What do they need?
Well, bare bone taking care of an animal. Like in just this one particular rescue girl I'm talking about, she's a geriatric horse. So she runs about $100, $125 a month in feed, but she has shoes every 8 weeks that are, you know, $100.
Yeah,
we know that. And
that's right off the tip. $45 for a trim, $100 for a pair of shoes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And she needs shoes. Otherwise, she's too sore to walk around. You can't just trim her. And vetting. You know, you at least have to have that vet out once or twice a year, just in well care. That's not any accidents. That's not any of when she first came to me where she had to have her teeth floated. You know, you're looking at $400 for that. Regular vaccinations, worming, or deworming, all this preventative stuff that, you know, they had not had. And so you're up there in $600 just in that initial veterinary care. And then each month you have the regular maintenance. Now getting her up to her weight that she is now, where it's $100, $125 a month, I was spending almost $300 a month in groceries for this horse, because you wean them up to a certain amount, because you can't just automatically feed them the full amount that you say, oh, here's a hungry man portion.
Right.
You have to give them a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more. Their bodies can go into shock if you don't
feed them too much.
If you do feed them too much, and you can lose them and you can lose them quick. So you just increment them up. And then when you get them up, you leave it at that until they're at their ideal weight, and then you can start leveling them off again to a regular portion. And
even $125 a month, and then, you know, $50 a month for shoes, that doesn't count the property, the fencing, the gates, the water.
Yeah, the taxes and this
and your
that.
Time is, you know, you're paying for this for all intents and purposes. So it's not
It's all worth it. It is.
It is, yes. But for people out there that don't know anything about what it takes to take care of a horse, there's a lot to it. And it's the time. You know, if you want to have a horse that you can actually ride, you have to put time in and the tech and everything else.
Exactly.
So rescue, from a horse rescue perspective, it sounds like an operation that does require a lot of flow in terms of cash and things that need
Very
to happen
true.
In that organization.
Very true.
Good. Well, we are going to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more because I want to hear a story about one of the horses. So I'm going to give you a moment to think about which one you're going to pick. If not, I can find one for you.
Thank you.
And then we're going to talk a little bit about, so now we might want to set up a nonprofit, or do we? So let's talk about that with Joy when we come back. Thank you for listening to Walk the Talk with Kim.
I spied your ponytail. I tried with sugar cubes and they're okay, but I don't think I'll catch you that way.
Since 1977, Pearson Law Professionals have compassionately guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice for insurance disputes and personal injury claims. Pearson Law has secured justice in civil matters with a network of resources, wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Call 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com. Cut through the clutter with the latest up-to-date information on happenings in the world of real estate, mortgage, and personal finance. Tune in Wednesdays at 3 p.m. for Brashonomics, an upbeat, interesting, and informative hour you don't want to miss. Hosted by Ben Brashen, you'll be entertained and informed as Ben and his guests of industry professionals share ideas and strategies you can use every day in your own life. You won't want to miss this show. Brashonomics has the information you need to stay in the know. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. You'll be glad you did.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Ariano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focus on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ariano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
I want to have wild horses.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Ariano, and I'm talking right now with Tina Laguna, and we'll be bringing on Joy Stevens with O2JoyInt.com. I'll say that a little bit more graceful next time, Joy, I promise. We were talking about horse rescue, and the question that I had, and you know, we're going to talk a little bit about a mutual little special friend that we have here in just a moment, but what do you do with these rescue horses? You get them all ready to go, and then people come adopt them, and then what do they do with them?
Well, some trail ride them and get them ready for their own little girls. Some are just ready just to be a nice family member and a pasture mate to other horses. And then some end up going on stage.
Yes. So if you go to Craigslist, there's a million horses out there that need homes. I mean, they're just it's a horrible epidemic right now with horses needing homes and rescue horses. But one of the things that you do is you showcase some of these animals and bring a little bit to light that there is a lot of usefulness out there
in what they can do.
And so Buzzy, our little mutual friend, he's an ambassador for Red to Laguna. And I'll start the story and then you can take it from there because it's near and dear to my heart. So when I I was 12 years old, my parents and I adopted two donkeys, or what they call burros. Burros are donkeys born in the wild. Donkeys are burros born in captivity. If, in case you ever wanted to know, there's one thing that you learned on the Walk the Talk with Kim show. That's the difference between a burro and a donkey. So we got two burros from the Bureau of Land Management that we adopted, and one of them died pretty quickly. He was not well. And the other one we had forever. And then about 2 years later, we adopted Buzzy. And when Buzzy first came, he was very feral. You couldn't get anywhere near him. And he was solid color, and, you know, just the other one was just real friendly. He was a lovey-dovey, and Buzzy didn't want to have anything to do with them. Well, he got his name Buzzy because he used to chew through the 2x4s that we had set up for fencing. So my dad used to have to go and re-put up 2x4s because he would chew through it. So we called him Buzzsaw, or Buzzy. That's how he got his name. And Buzzy lit up the neighborhood for 20-some-odd years at our place, where he would hee-haw for the neighbors every day, and you can hear him all the way down the road. And then my parents, who bought a boat and a house in Arizona, were traveling quite a bit, and that was the last that they had left was Buzzy and a couple of cats. And so they offered him to Tina, and so Tina adopted our wonderful little Buzzy.
Yeah.
And so tell us what Buzzy's life is like now.
Oh, my gosh. He is the highlight of the ranch. He is so hilarious. He has this broken hee-haw that sounds like, oh, the ferry coming in the fog. You know, it's just this amazing sound. And same thing, our neighbors love it, which cracks me up because at first I thought, oh, no, my neighbors are going to hate me now. Thankfully, Kim's cousin lives next door to me, and so she was already very familiar with the sound that comes from his little body, which is enormous, that sound that he can
make. His windup is what really makes it. He does this big, I mean, it goes on forever while he's taking it in before he just lets it fly. You know it's coming.
Yep, yeah. And then it just roars.
Yes, and he lets it go.
Yeah, but he's been just a wonderful, wonderful, just an addition to our farm. People love him. He's charismatic. And for somebody, or some, I'm sorry, I talk to them like they're humans, because they're just, I know them inside and out.
You've been on the ranch a little too long.
I have. I'm glad you had me into town today. It's been a while.
I made you put on makeup today, didn't I?
I did.
Yay.
I thought, oh gosh, I can't go in my overalls and my muck boots or anything.
Even if it is radio. So what has Buzzy been up to?
Well, a year and a half ago, we went on stage. International production of Don Quixote was playing at Maidenbauer Theater, and they needed a donkey and they needed a horse. And I'm like, well, gosh, I guess if I can get him loaded in the trailer, which he'd only ever been in a trailer twice in his life.
Right.
Ever. He'd never had a bath, nothing. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll try. So the first day, he loaded up like a champ. And, you know, 6 days later, he's been going in and out of this trailer, getting a bath every day, and going on stage with all these ballerinas twirling around him and the loud music and the orchestra, whatever, everything, just going crazy. And he's just standing there like he'd been doing it his whole life.
And this is, up to this point, this donkey was, for all intents and purposes, feral.
Feral.
I mean, he's never been tame by any stretch. I mean, you could get a, you know, halter on him.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you had M&Ms, he'd let you rub them down. But for the most part, he didn't want to have anything to do much with people. But, yeah, to see him on stage, or to have him go on stage, that's a pretty big feat.
It was. It was a lot of fun. And he was just his little star for a while. And and then this last summer, in Railroad Days in our town, we had, it's called Railroad Days, right?
I think so.
It changed the name.
Well,
anyways, we all decided to go in the parade. And Kim was there, too. And
pony.
With their pony. And we were marching down Main Street with our little critters. And Buzzy was leading the way.
Yeah, and we had a blast. It was so much fun. So you're waiting right now to go back to the rescue. You're waiting right now to take in more horses, because you have some rescues that really need to be adopted now. And until they're adopted, it's really a space issue. But there's still upkeep.
There is.
So people can donate if they want to and sponsor and do all that kind of fun stuff and take care of them and, you know, maybe even make more space if you had enough donations came in. And
very true. Very true.
All that kind of fun stuff. So, Joy, then now I have a question for you. So you've heard a little bit about, I don't know if you heard enough, but you've heard a little bit about Tina and Tina's situation. How many organizations or how many individuals do you think are out there doing this kind of rescue work and they aren't set up as a nonprofit? You think that there's a lot of them that you're seeing out there?
Well, you started me off with a tough one, didn't you? Well, what I can tell you is that there are 50,000 not-for-profit entities in the state of Washington. How many of those serve the public when it comes to rescuing horses? I can't tell you. How many folks are out there doing what you are doing for the same unselfish reasons, doing it out of the kindness of your heart, doing it because of the love of the animal? I wouldn't begin to guess, but I would suspect that there are some other Good Samaritans out there. And I was just doing a little math. The only thing I don't know is how many horses you currently have in your care. But just doing the math for that one when it comes to vetting and food and everything that goes along with its care, you know, that's a lot of money out of the bank.
It is. And we have five.
Five. Yeah. You know, and I don't know if you have time besides, you know, caring for the horses, being a caregiver, being a mom, you know, all those things that you have to do to still earn an income as well. Because at the end of the day, you know, we need to put food on the table and we need a roof over our head. So, you know, if you're not the caregiver to the family, then you have to depend upon somebody else to bring home the bacon, so to speak.
Very true.
You know, so, you know, a lot of us would like to do more for the community. We would like to give back more. We would like to give more of our time, more of what we have accumulated over the years in the terms of education and work experience. But it does come down to being a challenge.
So what would some of the benefits be for someone like Tina to be a nonprofit organization as opposed to what she's doing now? What she's doing now, so the pros and the cons, right? So the pros to what she's doing now is she doesn't have to file any paperwork. She doesn't, you know, other than her own taxes, but she doesn't, you know, have to go through any of that nonprofit type paperwork, I would assume, or applying for things or any of that kind of stuff that's required. And I'm going to ask you, you know, a little bit of what that is. What are some of the other advantages for not being a nonprofit? And then what are the advantages for being a nonprofit?
Well, you know, a nonprofit is really inaccurately named, in my opinion. And I'm sure your listeners know the following, but I'm going to recite it nevertheless, just for purposes of our discussion as we move forward. A nonprofit is a business, just as a for-profit is. The only difference being that a for-profit organization makes money, i.e. earns an income, and that income goes to create wealth for its shareholders. A nonprofit must also create an income. You must also have a positive bottom line. But instead of that money being used to create wealth for your shareholders, that money is spent on providing additional programs, additional capacity for existing programs. Mm-hmm. So therein lies the difference. Mm-hmm. So calling something a nonprofit is really not a very good descriptive term because you're not a nonprofit. You must make a profit. Because if you don't, you will not be able to sustain yourself year in and year out. Just won't happen. You talk about the ability to have more horses. You've got five right now. You would like to have more because the need is out there because of all the reasons, including economic. Well, you need money to increase your capacity. You need money to be able to feed more horses.
And correct. Money also to increase marketing so that she can adopt the horses that she has now.
Right.
Correct.
Yeah. See, the thing that you have to keep in mind when you set up a nonprofit is, what is it that I am doing? What service am I providing to the general public that a private organization does not provide or that the government does not provide? And that's the kind of thing that the IRS takes a look at. There are two components to setting up a nonprofit. And here we're starting to go a little bit into the
That's good. That's
the government
that's
and legal. But
yes.
I'm going to keep it brief and mm-hmm. just do an outline. But the first thing that, not the first thing you have to do, because there are other things you have to do, but a very important aspect is to incorporate yourself as a not-for-profit entity in the state of Washington. So you need to have a business statement. You need to know why you exist. Once you get your UBI number from the state of Washington, you then have to apply for an EIN number from the IRS. And at that point, you are allowed to complete 23-page Form 1023 and send it off to the IRS. And that gives you tax exemption status, which means you do not have to pay corporate federal taxes. So when you take a look about benefits, being a nonprofit versus a for-profit means that when you're a nonprofit and the IRS, you need to say, and the IRS has given you the tax exempt status, then you are not required to pay corporate taxes.
Well, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about that, because I also understand that another benefit is people that donate to you can write off their donations, but only if you're a certain type of nonprofit. So we want to talk a little bit more, and I don't want to get too much into the legal, but there's basic things. So when we come back, Walk the Talk with Kim, we're going to talk a little bit more with Joy on this fascinating topic on, did you ever want to start a nonprofit? Let's talk about what the reasons are why you would do it and what the steps are. So you're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150.
Whether they're working on an automotive accident case or helping a client injured by a defective product, the Pearsons are passionate about serving their clients. Their successful approach tackles the right issue at the right time with the best tools and expertise available. Clients rave about the Pearson Law Team's savvy abilities to ensure clients' voices are heard and to demystify the legal process and explaining choices and opportunities. Contact them at 800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's P-E-A-R-S-O-N LawFirm.com. Or check out WalkTheTalkWithKim.com for more.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Come join the original Adventure Boot Camp for Women in the Pacific Northwest. 7 years and running. See for yourself what it's all about, an experience you don't want to miss. Adventure Boot Camp is a four-week outdoor fitness program that offers fitness instruction, nutritional counseling, and motivational training, packed with fun and energizing activities designed to help you build a strong, fit body and mind. Whether you want to lose unwanted fat to feel fabulous in your clothes, or if you want to boost your metabolism and renew your energy, this program is for you. Now is the time to get started. Class size is limited and fills quickly, so go to eastsidebootcamp.com or call Kimbro at 425-890-5037.
1150KKNW.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Mariano. Our program is focused on mission-driven organizations, and we're having a really fascinating conversation about starting a nonprofit and some things that you need to think about. Tina Laguna is here with an organization, Rancho Laguna Equine Rescue, and this organization takes in animals that undernourish, got all kinds of problems,
yeah,
and you take them in. And
undercared for.
Yeah, and so you take them in and you get them groceried up and healthy, but you do more than that. I mean, I think that that's the big piece is that, like dogs that have been through the system or have been through been neglected, it's more than just fattening them up. You have to take care of their mental issues.
Exactly.
And with horses, it's especially true because they could kill somebody.
They could. They're very large animals.
They're very big, big animals. But
and by every right, they should be very angry.
Yes.
And you know what? They usually are not. They are so grateful and thankful. It's amazing that you would think that this animal would just, they're starved for food, they're starved for affection, and they are so open-armed, you know.
Grateful and humble.
Yes, and amazing. Take it in. Now, when they get fully nourished back to health, we see some of the true colors coming back out. But we've done enough work along the way that we can usually round those out.
She's saying a little bit of that for my benefit, because last year we adopted Ruby, and Ruby was the mate to Rose.
Yes.
And my daughter, who is your daughter's age, Isabella, who's in the studio with us today, and I sent Gia to live on the ranch with you for the summer, basically, every day. Oh, she just loved it. And she got to take care of all the animals, and we have horses at home, but she really got immersed into it and just had the best time. I've seen so much growth and maturity out of her. What you've done is incredible.
On.
She's just so awesome. She's a great kid.
She really developed in her writing. Man, that kid, she just took to it and was so brave and helped right along with the healing process of this horse.
Yeah.
You know, and she
fell in love with it. Yeah.
Yeah. This kid, I mean, you kept pushing her towards Rose.
Yeah.
And
I thought the old slow one would be so much
exactly.
better.
Exactly. And Gia gravitated towards Ruby every day. And that was the horse for her. She wanted to ride her. She wanted to spend time with her, get on the trails with her. And, you know, there was no convincing her otherwise.
No.
And they bonded.
And Gia is maybe 55 pounds.
Maybe.
Yeah. And Ruby is about 1,200 pounds.
Yeah. Now that she's fully fed.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ruby listens to everything that Gia wants her to do.
Oh, yeah.
No issues
at
all. It's amazing. Now, the problem comes when mom goes out there and wants to mess with her feet.
Oh, yeah.
Then all of the old, you know, you could tell where this came from, comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue between, it's amazing when you watch two souls like that bond.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely incredible. So what you're doing is so absolutely fantastic.
Oh, great.
Yay. And she'll be out there again this summer. So it'll be a lot of fun.
It.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. So, Joy, you were asking Tina a couple of questions at the break, and I stopped you a little bit because they were such great questions. And I want to have those on air because I think these are really good questions for people to ponder if they're considering nonprofit rescue or business, but not making, whatever we want to call it. What are some of the things that you'd like to ask Tina to kind of clarify and get the juices thinking about why somebody would want to go through what you need to go through with the state and with the federal taxes and with the 23-page document and the meticulous records and all of that stuff that you have to do as part of being a nonprofit?
Certainly. I should probably clarify one point at this time. While it is true that Form 1023 does have 23 pages, good news, you're not required to complete all of them.
Oh, good.
So they've built it as a very comprehensive document. I brought one along with me. So if you ever have trouble falling asleep at night, you just take this out and read through it, and you're guaranteed to be snoozing in no time at all. But, you know, there's two things that I ask when I start working with an individual, or hopefully it's a group of individuals who have decided that they want to start a nonprofit. And I want to know their motivation, why they're doing it. I want to know their mission. What services are they going to be providing that another for-profit organization does not do, or that the government does not do? Because remember that the IRS is exempting you from paying taxes. Plus, if you are a 501c3, technical term, I feel like, you know, I should put a little asterisk next to that, but I can't on radio, but you know what I mean, is that if I give you a cash donation, you can write a tax-deductible receipt. So not only is the IRS saying that you don't have to pay corporate taxes, but I, as a donor, can now take a deduction off of my taxes. So they're very careful in taking a look at what your mission is, what it is that you are going to be, what services you will be providing, and to whom you will be providing those. Now, there's many, many reasons that you can start a nonprofit, and in your case, it sort of comes under the animal rescue environment. You know, there's all kinds of SBCAs and all other kinds of humane society. Is it humane societies?
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. For animals. Oh, there's millions of them out there.
Exactly. So, I mean, from that perspective, you already have that part of it covered as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. What we have to take a look at is your motivation. You know, how do you see this piece coming together? What is your mission statement going to sound like? And the other thing about what you are going to do, and that is to perhaps open up your stable. Is that the right term? Stable?
My ranch.
Your ranch, excuse me. If you are going to be opening up your ranch to individuals, you know, whether they're friends or friends of friends, that you need to be careful that you protect yourself from a liability point of view. So that, mm-hmm. in my opinion, is probably the most important reason for you to become a corporation, to limit your liability and make sure that you've got good liability insurance, mm-hmm. as an organization.
So what is your mission, Tina? I know that you and I have talked, and it's more than just the rescue piece. There's a different component to it as well.
Yeah. Well, I have this vision of putting the animals together, not only rescuing these needed animals, but, you know, they also need emotional help, these animals. But people, individuals of all ages, need emotional healing for all sorts of reasons. You know, there's not just clinical, psychological issues that need this type of emotional healing, but the average person. We all have a stressful day. We all need some sort of outlet. And putting a horse there when you can just brush on a horse for hours or learn how to handle an animal that you have never had an idea how to do before, and just knowing that the empowerment of being able to handle an animal, even these little tiny kids that I get out to the ranch, right. can handle these animals. And I just teach them in a very assertive way of how to own their selves,
their space, yeah.
And but be kind to the animals and be thoughtful to the animals. And it just works. And I think that we can all just add to each other's healing.
I couldn't agree with you more. I work with a lot of business people in my organizational psychology practice, and I don't know how many times I said, man, I just want you to come out to my barn for
take a deep breath,
you know, for an hour, mm-hmm. and just work with the horse and see that there's so much that they can teach, mm-hmm. you. So part of your practice is, you know, not only the rescue piece, but the other part of the piece is offering a place for people to come and do some healing and do some communications and understanding
exactly.
a different perspective. Because people and animals and dogs are really not any different. We're all animals, mm-hmm. from that perspective, but we lose something with these intellectual brains that we have that the horses bring us right back down to. And I think you're really onto something there.
I hope so. Yeah. I feel so.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you.
I'm right there with you. Wouldn't have you on if I didn't. So anyway, so you are, Joy, you have an event coming up on Wednesday, June 22nd, and we're going to talk a little bit more specifically with Tina, but I wanted to make sure we talked about this because I did want to open the phone lines for you out there. If there's anybody out there who is thinking about starting a nonprofit and has answered some of these questions like, yes, I have a mission, it's different, it's not like what other people are doing, I'm putting my heart and soul into this, I really need to get myself together and get this paperwork done, there is a workshop that you're conducting that has a bunch of stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about the workshop?
Certainly. It's a 5-hour workshop. It's very hands-on. It's comprehensive. And its title is Starting and Sustaining a Nonprofit. Because we are of the opinion that if you're going to take the time, energy, and spend the money, because, you know, you have to write a check for $850 to the IRS when you apply for your tax-exempt status. So, yes, there is funds that will be spent in order to get your tax exempt status. So you have to go into this very carefully, and we want to make sure that you do it right the first time. Understand what you're getting into, know how to set it up, know how to apply for your tax exempt status. And then we have a module on fundraising. Because at this point, I haven't heard Tina talk at all about charging fees. If you've got this burnt out businesswoman who needs to come down to the ranch to get some R&R or just get a different perspective on life, I don't hear you saying, well, it's going to be $50, $75 for a half hour brushing a horse.
Mm-hmm.
I think that you're going to provide these services and this exposure to these animals free of charge.
Yeah, well, so far we've just been relying on anybody's contribution, sweat equity, and it's out of my own pocket.
Right.
So you're that's not definitely, yes.
That from a nonprofit perspective, yeah. And even from a business perspective, I think that that's a really great topic of conversation is how do you value what you do? Mm-hmm. And that's a whole big philosophical conversation, but certainly something that you cover in your workshop. And I think that that would be extremely, I know for me personally, that would be very beneficial because oftentimes I'm kind of like with you, you just build it and they will come mm-hmm. and out of the kindness of their heart, this will happen. But I think what you're talking about is a very valid point that if you're not very specific about what you need and what you're asking for, how are they supposed to know what they're supposed to give you?
Or more importantly, mm-hmm. how do you propose to raise the funds?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know, there's many ways of raising funds for your organization, and charging a fee for what you do is certainly one of them. You have to mm-hmm. be careful about that particular topic, but we won't go. That's a topic. Or another show all its own.
But we did want to let people know before we go to the break, when we come back, we're going to give more information about the event, and I want your information about your organization, Tina. But you have graciously offered a ticket that if someone who wants to start a nonprofit or has a nonprofit and wants some information on legal, taxation rules, roles and responsibilities, communication, board development, that's my forte, marketing mm-hmm. and fundraising and all that kind of fun stuff, call the Walk the Talk with Kim show right now at 425-373-5527. Again, 425-373-5527. And we'll get your name and number and get that information and have you come. That's June 22nd from 1 to 6 p.m. at the 2100 building at 24th Avenue South in Seattle. Again, that number 425-373-5527 for that free ticket if you're thinking of starting and sustaining a nonprofit organization. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap it up and get you some more information on how you can help Tina's organization as well as attend this incredible workshop that's coming up on June 22nd. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim.
Jerry and Michelle Pearson of the Pearson Law Firm are local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been wronged in our community. If you have a personal injury, automobile accident, property hazard, industrial injury, defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, award-winning Pearson Law Firm can help anywhere in Washington. Contact them today for a free case evaluation at 800-423-8473. That's 800-423-8473, or check them out at walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ever feel like strangling your boss?
You little...
Or maybe you're the boss and your employees make you want to strangle yourself. Drop that noose and tune in or call in to The Boss Show, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150. Hosts Jim Hessler and Steve Motenko, co-owners of Path Forward Leadership Development, will take your calls on everything boss-related, offering deep insights with a dollop of outrageousness. The Boss Show, workplace wisdom with heart and humor, Wednesday afternoons at 5.
There's an exciting new astrology hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Ariano Consulting, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops
workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com. Ariano Consulting, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I am Kim Ariano, and we are talking with Joy Stevens with O2 Joy, and we are also listening with Tina Laguna at Rancho Laguna. And we were talking briefly about the event that's coming up on Wednesday, the 22nd. And you've got some really dynamic speakers that are coming. You've got a tax manager from Clark Neuber. You've got law offices of Judy Andrews and a business manager from Wells Fargo, and yourself. You're a fundraising specialist. And it seems to me that this is an incredible opportunity to really sit down and workshop and come out of it at the end of 5 hours with something that you can actually move forward with, as well as some incredible information. And there's a cost associated with that. There's materials, handouts, refreshments, all kinds of things that come with it. And the information, how does somebody register for this event?
Please visit our website, and that is www.o2joyent.com, and they can register online.
Excellent. And I did post that information on the Walk the Talk with Kim Facebook page today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As well as we'll get that posted on www.walkthetalkwithkim.com, as well as your information as well, Tina, so that everybody will have that. And again, if you're one last shot here, we've got a couple of folks that are interested in that ticket, but we'll leave it open for just another moment. If you are thinking of starting a nonprofit and sustaining a nonprofit organization, give us a call at 425-373-5527. Again, 425-373-5527. And that's for Wednesday, June 22nd from 1 to 6 p.m. downtown Seattle. So we were talking briefly during the break, which is great. I wish sometimes we could just keep going through the breaks, because sometimes the best conversations happen during the break. But you were talking about fundraising, and I liked what your comments were there, Joy, that one of the first things that you're going to need to do, and this is any business, is you got to understand what your costs are. What does it cost? And then you also have to build in, okay, so that's bare bones what you need today. But then what are you going to need to actually grow it into what your mission is? So we're talking with Tina about what she wants to do and what she's been doing. But if she wants to grow that piece, there's a marketing component to that. There's a cost associated, almost with sales associated with that, with awareness associated with that. So how do you value, and I'm sure that's something that you work for with the workshop, but that's one of the questions, is how do you value your nonprofit in terms of what are the hard costs, but then also what are some of the soft costs that you have to think about in terms of time or paying somebody to do, you know, your social networking or to do your marketing or whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And so what are some of the things that we need to think about when we're talking about fundraising? So now we've got it. Now we know how much it costs. Let's say I'm going to throw out a number, $50,000 is what you need bare minimum to keep the farm up and running, to offer these services, and then also to grow. So fundraising, can you tell us a little bit, some tips that we need to know about fundraising?
Sure. And, you know, the good thing about Tina is she's already thought about what it's going to cost her to continue to operate the ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're halfway there as far as budgeting is concerned, because when you complete this, the form for the IRS, they ask for a 3-year budget.
Okay.
So they want to take a look at, you know, where's the money going to be spent on what? And then where's the money going to come from? So that's a good segue into where is the money going to come from? And there's various ways of raising funds. If you take a look at the statistics, 82% of money that is given away in this country comes from individual donors. You and I, we support all different kinds of organizations in all different kinds of areas, whether it's homelessness, hunger, animal rescue, whatever the case might be, the arts. So one of the things that you have to do is start by taking a look at how you are going to attract donors. How are you going to create awareness about your ranch to folks out there? So when you start looking at costs, you know, things like running a website, if you can do it yourself, great, but chances are...
I don't recommend it.
No, I don't either.
No, but save yourself the headache.
Yeah, there's things like having to hire a lawyer when you first incorporate. Some folks will say you don't have to do that. You can do it yourself. Yeah. But, you know, let's be realistic about it. So there's the lawyer, there's an accountant. Whether you do your books yourself or you get a bookkeeper, you know, these are the things you need to think about. Social media, rent, and you've already thought of all those things. So now, down to the fundraising. You need to build, first of all, in my opinion, there are two things you need to think about. Number one, fundraising begins with your board.
Mm-hmm.
So have you, one of the things that you need to start working on if you already haven't done so is you need to put together a board. And your board must understand that fundraising is part of their role.
This is so critical, Joy, because so many organizations that I work with, their board is made up either of a bunch of friends or a bunch of people that just want to be on a board who don't really understand that there is an expectation and a minimum that you're bringing money into the organization. And it's hard sometimes for the executive director or for the person running the organization to tell them that, because it sounds like, you know, you got to buy your way in. But unfortunately, that's, you got to put skin in the game, and you have to have board members that are willing to put skin in the game. Otherwise, you're going to have a bunch of dead weight and people with a lot of opinions that aren't necessarily contributing to what's going on.
And if I may add to that, one of the things that you brought up during a break is you talked about, well, if I'm a nonprofit, I can apply for grants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is a truism. But one of the things that some nonprofits look at is how much your board has contributed financially, cash. So, you know, do yourself a favor right up front. When you are recruiting board members, make sure that they understand that you are going to expect a personal financial gift from them. It'll save you all kinds of heartache later on down the line.
Okay, yeah, I'd say that's probably true. Good. What else about fundraising?
Oh, there's all kinds of ways. Corporate sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you buy your feed from a particular organization? What organization, if partnering with you, would benefit from that alignment? So there are companies out there who take a look at partnering with nonprofit organizations as part of their giving back to the community. The term used is corporate social responsibility. There are special events. There's earned income. Things like maybe having an Easter egg hunt on the place, which means that you have to take your horse to go and find the eggs.
Very cute.
Limited to your imagination.
Yeah. All different kinds of things. Well, this is a great discussion. And usually, as usual, the show goes by way too fast and we are coming up on the end. Tina, what's your information? How do people find out more about your organization and are invited, I'm sure, to come up
anytime,
hang with the horses?
Anytime. Yeah. We do run kind of an open ranch thing Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays out of the ranch. We have a very bare-bone website up right now. RanchoLaguna.com.
Okay.
And look us up and come on out.
So any of those parents out there that have horse crazy girls and you don't want to go through the expense of buying a horse, they'll learn how to shovel the horse manure in turns for brushing the horses. It works out great. And again, Joy, your information, you're at www.o2joyent.com. And your event is Wednesday, June 22nd from 1 to 6 p.m. at the 2100 building at 2100 24th Avenue South. Our show today was brought to you by Pearson Law Firm. Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That is the Pearson Promise. Go to www.walkthetalkwithkim.com and get all of this information downloaded, or you can also go to our Facebook page at Walk the Talk with Kim. Thank you and have a wonderful day. And if you're thinking of starting or sustaining a nonprofit organization, join us and tell us all about it. And maybe we can have you on the show. Thank you so much for coming in, for listening, and have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Shoots up through the stony ground. There's grace. It's a beautiful